Blog Talk
In fact,
Radio.
We're not live. That's just, and now that's the end of her. Okay? So
okay.
From your personal point of view, you didn't experience it. From the professional
I really
point
didn't.
Of view. Yeah, but from the professional point of view, when you are in the fashion industry or you're promoting a fashion client, let's say, somebody in the fashion industry, you are not seeing that everybody is still... I do understand we've had a lot of people are talking about models and models who are gray hair and they're looking for older models and that sort of thing. But when I interview them, they still have to be over 5'6". They still have to be thin. They still have to be beautiful. They just, it's okay if they're a little older. So you don't see that still in the fashion industry where
Oh, no, I think that still exists. I still
yeah.
think that exists. I still think there's a perception of what beauty is. But I think I really feel that some of that is changing. And you can see
Good.
That with a lot of the new commercials out. I think it's changing, and I think it has to change. I think we've gone from, you know, beauty being the epitome of what beauty would be in someone's mind, to the reality of what beauty is in the world. And I think that's a really good transition.
Right, and that's a really good point. Yeah. So that's a great point.
Find beauty in many things.
And that's just what we're going to, we'll have a conversation just like that. So we're really ready to go. I know that my first question to you is going to be, tell me a little bit about your business and the struggle that you had in terms of being a single mom and all that to make it happen, and how your mother was a big contributor to that. So I know that story, and I'd like that to be told. I think people will be very interested because they'll relate to it. The only thing I ask is because we're not face-to-face and there's no physical cues, don't make the answers too long so I can get in my next question. Okay?
Okay.
Are we
Absolutely.
Good?
So you're gonna drive it through questions, so I'm not going to have
to. Yeah, I will.
Tell.
It's
okay,
all,
very
it's
good.
All that. Now, do you want me to introduce you? Pat Fiore is your name, but... Founder of Pat Fiore, is there a website?
I am the chief inspiration officer. That's really the way I'd like to be introduced.
Right. Of Pat Fiore.
That's my title.
Right.
I mean, I am the principal, yes, but I am the chief. And my role as inspiration officer always existed, but I never carried the title because there was no such title back when I started
right.
the business. At that point, I was president. So.
Right. So then we're definitely going to. Discuss that as well, what that means to you. Okay? All right,
yes.
Sue, we are ready to rock and roll.
Adrian?
Yes, we have to just be quiet for a while.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure I didn't lose you, that's all.
Oh, no, she thought it took time because she thought she lost. Yeah, we'll start again. Yeah, it just takes time for the music to rev up, but we have to be quiet while that happens.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we come to you every single week. It's been 4 years now. Illuminating issues of aging, revving us up for the next part of our life, We have a wonderful blog you should take a look at called Aging for Beginners. And I just did a piece for a masseuse who had turned 40, and she was getting depressed. And I did advice to a woman turning 40 from a person who is turning 70. And guess what? I do that tomorrow. So this is also a birthday celebration, and I am celebrating it with a very, very fascinating woman. Our guest today is Pat Fiore. You can learn all about her inspirational words of wisdom at FioreInspires.com. And in fact, she's the chief inspiration officer at Pat Fiore, which she also founded. Now, if the name doesn't come up right away in your mind, you can also see her in Women to Watch. And she has a 35-year-old iconic business where she helps other businesses illuminate, guide, and propel themselves into success. But there's a lot more to it than that. When we talk with her, we're going to hear a little bit about her journey, and then we're going to probe a bit about the fashion industry, the marketing industry, the branding industry, and what she's observed through the years in its changes toward age, toward women, all the things that we sometimes get a little angry about on this show. She feels is improving, and I love to hear it. So thank you for being with us so much today, Pat.
Thank you, Adrienne. This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And some parts of your journey have been remarkably fun, and some have been a little tough. So let's introduce first the business. You call yourself the Chief Inspiration Officer. What does that mean to you? Because you changed it from being president to being Chief Inspiration Officer, and FioreInspires.com is a website that you've created. So what does inspiration mean to you in this context?
Well, I think one of the things that I never expected to have and never looked to gain was inspiration from anyone else. But I'm constantly inspired by everything I do and everyone I meet, whether it's intended or not intended. I feel that at this point in my life, in all the years I've been working in my own business and all the people that have worked for me and with me and clients that I've had, I've always felt that my job was to inspire them to reach further, to learn more, to really dig deep into what their best, you know, opportunities are, whether it be in the company or as a client for their, you know, customer base. And I just feel that that's really what I do best is inspire. If you were to talk to my employees and my partners, they would say, I'm always dropping kind of an idea on someone and let it sit with them for a while till they come back and let me know if it makes sense or doesn't make sense. But I kind of jog them a little bit. And if you talk to my clients, they would say, I take no prisoners when it comes to the tough questions. Those are the ones I ask. And I do it. Not to be difficult, but to probe and to get them to think and them to aspire to something greater. So to me, that's what I think I've been doing for many years, and now I'm going to carry the title of it. I think it's very important to inspire everyone around you, everyone you do business with, everyone in your family. That's my role.
And, you know, it's very interesting because as we grow older, we're supposed to be labeling ourselves. Are you the president? Are you the vice president? Are you a manager? And it's always about what you do, not about who you are. And when you change your title, and people can do this, everybody listening can do this, whether it's in a business, whether it's the way you inspire your family, whether it's the way you inspire your friends to be the best they could be. It doesn't always have to be what you do. It should, as we get a little older, be who you are. And that change, that transition in just your title, Pat, I think says a lot about your goals and your values. But it wasn't always easy. Keeping and building a 35-year-old business is tough for everybody. My question to you is, I know that you were in the fashion industry. You perhaps didn't opt to start your own business, but because of your mom's passing, it became practically necessary. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I never really thought about owning my own business. I grew up in a family that worked in factories and worked for other people, no one very entrepreneurial. And so that wasn't part of my upbringing or my experience. And the idea from my parents' message to me was find a great company and stay there
for 40 years. Right.
40, 50 years, stay there and just keep working hard. And there's nothing wrong with, we certainly have work ethic. For me, the fashion industry was, I spent, from the time I could, I was 10 or 11 years old, I was making everything I ever wore. I was entering contests. I was winning contests all over the country for my sewing and my design work. I was designing costumes. I was wonderful and exciting. When I got into the fashion industry, I could not learn. I could not get enough. I was taking more classes than I was allowed to take, and I was auditing classes at night. I was such a sponge in that industry. But when I started to evolve in that industry, and I did very well, it became very clear to me that it was not just a difficult industry, but it was somewhat unforgiving industry. And I also had the experience of working, designing clothing and working with factory workers, and I had the first perspective on what that meant. And I found that very challenging, having come from a family that worked in factories. I had no idea how tough that role was. My life changed very quickly. I was a single mother when my daughter was a little girl, when she was an infant, and my mother took care of her, and I was traveling. So one of the responsibilities with my job in fashion was observational research and looking at what fashion was in Korea and in London and what were they wearing in Belgium and how did that affect the industry and how did it influence what was going on in the U.S. And so I was on the road all the time, and my daughter was about 4 and a half. My mom suddenly passed away. And she passed away without any illness or without any warning, and so it was very, very difficult on my daughter and on my family. And on my
dad. That created the transition.
That was a transition.
So
for me, it was.
It was a necessity.
It was a necessity. And honestly, I told you at that time I was working in textiles and working for DuPont. And I always, while it was a male dominated industry at that time, in the 70s and 80s, at that time, I always managed to find one senior person, not because I chose him, but because he chose me, that was really kind of a godfather to me, and a little bit protective and a little bit directing my career. And the senior person in textiles at that time said to me, you know, I have to leave my job. I have to go find a job in New Jersey. And I thought I would go back to retail, which I did when I was in high school. And he said, and my boss from the stores I worked for in high school was like thrilled that I was going to come back. And he said, no, 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 you should be a consultant. I said, what in the world is that? He said, you'll work for us part-time, we'll pay you really well, and you'll continue to do work, and probably some of our customers will, you know, will like to work with you too because they're asking us all the time. And sure enough, that's what I did. I, you know, in fact, I started that working as a consultant. I didn't even have a name for my company. I went to my lawyer and he said, yeah, call it Fiori. It's your name. It's
well,
easy.
Call it yourself, your own name. Well, you know, we're going to take a little bit of a break now, but I want to recap a little bit of the spirit here. We always talk about being thrown into transition. People who are listening to the show are anywhere from, say, 40 on up to 140, and things happen. It's as simple as that. We do not always manage and control our future. Mom dies suddenly. A spouse passes away or leaves. You get an itch to move, or you have to move because retirement time comes and you downsize. And all of these things, we ask, can we make lemonade? That's really what this show is about. There are some lemons that come with aging, for example, this pivot of our show, with business, with being a mom. And the question becomes, how are we going to handle it? We can't always control the circumstance, but we can control our response to the circumstance. That's the old
Absolutely.
Adage. I know it's just a euphemism for some people. But, Pat, it was real for you. And what you did was make it into true lemonade. So we're talking right now with Pat Fiori, FioriInspires.com. Her mantra is to inspire everyone around her, including her employees, including her clients, and you, our audience. And when we come back, we're going to ask her a question that's kind of mundane these days. People are talking all the time about older models, models with gray hair, what's going on in the fashion industry. But you could see from our discussion that she knows. She knows it from inside the industry, from creating her own company that deals with that industry and many others, and for inspiring people. And I want to know personally how she feels about ageism in her own life and what she sees in our culture and whether it's changing from at least the point of view of how we're supposed to be looking and aspects of beauty and what it is.
You
we had a fine discussion earlier. You're going to want to listen in, so don't you go anywhere.
Doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so you can see it's very conversational. Okay?
Yes.
We're off the air now. And we're
okay,
putting in the commercials.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
so,
right now,
I mean, if you ask me...
The music is go ahead.
Go ahead. If you ask me what skill set or what, you know, what trait you need to be able to survive these things, I think it's kind of being a bit of a chameleon, a bit of having adaptability. And inner strength. And inner strength has to come from the inside, whether it's been infused in you from your family or infused in you from your experiences. It's a combination of things. You have to look to yourself, because
right.
no one's gonna make the path for you. No one's gonna lay that out for you. No one did for me, even with a great family that was supportive. So,
well, what I want to do in our next, we have three segments. In our next segment, I wanted to turn our attention to what you're seeing in the fashion industry, advertising, and the things that may be cultural change. But I also see here that you were very inspired by a particular TED Talk. And you're talking about your superpowers. And I think what you're talking about right now has to do with those superpowers. So what I have here, I'll just read it to you. This is what was sent to me. Idea synthesis, rapid learning, and adaptability. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
And inner strength. So in our third segment, I really want to concentrate on what you just talked about. And I will make sure that at the end of this segment, I toss into that issue. So we'll have plenty of opportunity to
I don't need to mention her, though, do I, the person who did the TED Talk, do I?
No, you don't have to. We don't
okay.
even have to mention the TED Talk. I'm only...
No, we can,
it's
we
really
can do that.
Super
okay with that.
Yeah. It's only the superpowers idea and this idea that you just talked about right now, which is that it has to be internal, okay? And that is what we'll do in the third segment. Right now, because I tossed to the question of what's going on culturally, we'll start with that one as our first part of this segment, okay?
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm.
Good. So we are ready. Now we have to do the same thing as be quiet for a few minutes.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. It is currently, and I can't think why, the only syndicated radio show in this country on the topic of successful aging. And we look at it from every point of view. You could take a look at Bottom Line Personal, which is one of the largest blogs in the country right now, a newsletter. And I head their Aging for Beginners section. So take a look at that. And if you have a topic, if you have a guest, if you have a thought that you would like me to express on the air, simply go to our website, generationboldradio.com, generationboldradio.com, go to Ask Adrienne, and you can also tell Adrienne if there's something of interest to you. Now, right now, we have one of our, as usual, a fascinating guest. I know we're going to run out of time with her, but her name is Pat Fiore. She is the founder and president, I'm going to say former president, you'll hear why in a minute, of a company that is 35 years old, that helps other companies realize their greatest growth potential. And she's changed her title from president to chief inspiration officer because she feels that it is our responsibility and her particular responsibility and strength to inspire people. Now, we talked about her own journey in the first part of our show. But then we talked a little bit also about the fact that she's very mired and in the fashion industry, in advertising, in messaging. And I'm wondering, Pat, what are you seeing? It's 35 years, so you've got a long view perspective on whether the messages, the concepts of beauty, the advertising for people who are older is really changing. Are we deluding ourselves that because we're baby boomers and we feel feisty that the industry sees us that way? What's going on in either fashion, advertising, or all the above?
Well, I do think it's changing, and I think it's changing because it had to, because there was a need for it, but there was a demand for it as well. You know, consumers have a lot of power these days. Every new product, every new innovation starts with a consumer begging for a solution. So I think there's pressure on the industry, marketing, advertising, PR, all of it. But I also think that we've reached an age of authenticity. There's a need in the products we buy, in the brands that we support, the people we follow, the influencers we're attentive to, about authenticity. That, to me, that's very important. See, you have a world that's changing to natural products, natural foods, natural beauty products, things that are better
organic,
for your health, better for your life, organic.
Yeah,
right.
Like organic.
And so with that, how do you talk about a natural product that comes from the earth? I have a client that grows ingredients, that grows natural products from seed in the earth. The earth is from the ash of Mount Etna, with healing powers. How do you talk about that if you don't do it with authenticity? There's beautiful, wonderful language that we can use that's real and can bring products alive. So how would we do that if we're going to be inauthentic about the people we're using to promote those products? I think there's a huge revolution going on, and I think it's happening very quickly, where we are becoming true to ourselves, and products are becoming true to who they are. And when you get in, when you start to promote and speak to natural organic products, you need to speak to them with realism and authenticity. And so you're going to see more and more people with history and really their hands in the earth who are bringing these products alive. And they're not going to be 18-year-olds. They're not going to be stick models. It's not going to happen. They're real people. They're farmers and they're chemists and they're PhDs working in universities that are doing wonderful things to help us all live longer and live better. And
you know, one
better.
Of the things that I complain about a lot, right on this topic of inauthenticity, is products to look younger, and the models are 20 years old. So they're showing you a wrinkle cream, or they're showing you a Botox, and they're showing you on kids. And look at the change in that person. And that is the inauthenticity that I actually think makes consumers, at least my age consumers, angry, because it doesn't relate. And that's exactly, I think, what you're seeing. And it's a wonderful phrase you use, authenticity. It's not so much about whether we're showing an older person or we're showing a younger person. It's, does the person who's looking at, does the consumer relate? So we only have a couple of minutes. I want to throw this to you. You said an interesting thing. You said consumers have a lot of power now. Look, 78 million people are baby boomers, which means that they're born, you know, they're in their 60s and 70s. Who has the consumer power now, the millennials or the boomers?
I think the boomers do. They're one of the wealthiest of the generations, unlike the silent generation, which didn't have the money. The boomers do. They have tons of money to spend. They have power to influence products that are being developed. They expect to live longer, and they will, and they expect to look good while they're aging. And so there's a demand and an expectation. And one thing about boomers, I will say, is that they don't take no for an answer. I mean, with all the innovation we have in the world, with all the technology we have in the world, what I hear from boomers all the time is, what do you mean you can't do it? Do it. Get it done.
Mm-hmm. Make it happen. Make it happen. You know, it's so interesting, Pat. At the end of our show, we have a phrase. It's every single show for 4 years. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. And that's what we feel. We feel empowered to do that. And if we have disempowering messages from companies, we're just not going to do it. The business of I'm falling and I can't get up is very, very old news. Very old news. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to something much more internal, folks. Pat's got an incredible drive, an incredible philosophy, and she's made a lot of impact in the world. But in our little break that we spoke together, she said one thing, and it's tough. She said, nobody's going to do it for you. When we come back, we're going to talk about that, because one of the biggest issues of aging in this country is dependency. We're actually taught that come a certain age, usually 65, we're allowed to be dependent. We deserve to be dependent. We deserve to have handouts and entitlements. And if we don't get it, of course, if we worked for it, like Social Security is one thing. But the idea here is nobody's out there to create a great old age for you. It has to come internally. And Pat's got a terrific and important philosophy about that in general, about all aspects of life. And I think you're going to want to hear it. When we come back, we're going to find your superpowers and start you thinking about what your internal superpower is so that you can use it to carry through in the extra 30 years of life that most of us are being handed. And we want to embrace it with both hands. So when we come back, I'm going to be talking about that. And you may want to take a little pencil and paper and think about putting away 15 minutes today. When you learn how to discover yourself,
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, we're off now. We'll put the commercials in. Mm-hmm. And we'll start the third segment, but it's all set up, so I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to talk about, what you had wanted to talk about before, the internal strength you need and some of the things that you call on for your own self, okay?
Yes.
So we are ready. Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I am making a promise to you. One of my greatest loves in life is travel. I think that's true of my guest today, Pat Fiore. I just personally came back from the Arctic, and I will be celebrating my 70th birthday in Egypt. So some years ago, I started something called the Ageless Traveler, because we should never have to stop traveling if we love it. And my promise to you is that I will be bringing you more and more information on ageless travel so that you don't have to stop. That's my commitment for this year. I'm one of those people who loved school, so September was always the beginning of the year for me, not January. So this is the new year to me, and that's my New Year's resolution for you. You'll learn more and more about travel, and we will do more and more traveling together. Well, right now, we have someone who's taking us on a wonderful journey just on the air. Her name is Pat Fiore. She is the founder and now chief inspiration officer of a full-service marketing and branding firm. You'll find all about it in FioreInspires.com, and she's inspired a lot of people. Right now, one of the things that she particularly wanted to talk about was how you can be your own resource and why you must be your own resource and how you have certain superpowers that you yourself can distinguish and then cultivate. So, Pat, thank you again for staying with us on the show. And let's talk about that and your own philosophy of inner strength.
You said something earlier that about September being the start of your year because you love school. I love school also, and most of my friends did not. I couldn't wait to get to school in the morning. To me, learning is it's drives my life. Learning new things. So one of the things about my company, is that we have such a diverse. You know, when I was starting the agency, everyone was in real estate or in pharma or insurance or banking. They were very focused, very narrow-focused agencies focusing on one industry, had 25 clients in the same industry. To me, boring. More importantly, what's difficult about that is that you're not cross-pollinating ideas. You're not moving ideas from one possible industry to another. I think my curiosity is continues. I think curiosity is so underrated. Actually, the Harvard Business Review has a very interesting issue this month about the business case for curiosity. I talk about it all the time with everyone in my company and my friends and my family and the kids in our family about having this insatiable curiosity. It drives a need to learn, to read. Now we have the internet, even better. You can find information in a minute that will drive you to more information. To me, there's excitement in that and in wanting to connect the dots between our lives and the products we buy and the industries that we're exposed to and the changes and the dynamics of the world today. I think I do have some superpowers. First of all, I have a ridiculous amount of energy, and I'm not sure where that came from except drive and a need to get things done and feeling as if I'm never totally, completely finished. I'm sure that my clients would tell you that I ask them, continuously ask them more questions and push them in new direction. I want them to be the best they can be, so I have to be the best I can be. I have adaptability. I think that came from the way I was raised. It came from my experiences becoming a single parent, a rapid learner, and I have a lot of passion and purpose on a constant basis. So, you know, they always say when you want to get something done, ask a busy person. I usually wind up with the extra projects in the family and in the business.
You know, Pat, this is so timely for me personally. We do have a blog, Aging for Beginners, and it's a blog I was just told that one of our articles drew the attention of 20,000 readers. Now, there's such an insatiable need for information on living your best life, even if you're a little bit older. And the latest blog, and this is going to touch right on to what you said about curiosity. I actually bash, I'll be honest with you, I bash an article that was written several years ago by a very famous oncologist who said that he wanted to die when he was 75 years old. And he was in his 50s at the time and healthy. And he said we should all want to die when we're 75 years old because we become irrelevant. Now, what would keep me wanting to live forever? One answer, curiosity. Just your answer. And I know that you're a traveler, and I just talked about ageless travel. Why do people travel? Only curiosity. They want to see what's going on around the corner. And when you stop feeling that, yeah, maybe you do want to check out. And so creating this idea of curiosity and relevance in your life is very, very internal. And I want to touch again on something that you said off the air that it's so simple, it's very profound, and that is you have to do it yourself. And explain how even your loving family is not enough. Tell us about that, your thoughts when it comes to that.
I think you have to find that inner strength. You have to definitely have to have purpose. And you have to be persistent. I have a favorite word, and actually it was someone wrote an article about me years ago, and they said, what do you think you have that no one else has? And I said, well, stick-to-itiveness. I don't let it go until I solve it. And then I find other ways to approach it. So adaptability is important, but purpose is very important. I don't know why anyone would ever want to anticipate or believe that they're irrelevant after a certain age. I don't see that at all. I had a grandmother who passed at 99. At 98 and her beginning of her 99th birthday, she was still running up and down three flights of steps and directing the entire family. She was totally relevant. Now, at that time, they didn't have the internet, and I'm sure she would have laughed at it. But the point is, she had the energy and the purpose to keep going and the curiosity to keep wanting to learn. So as the children would come and tell her stories about what they were learning in school, she never went to school. She never learned to read or write. She was so curious about it and so wanted to believe and get involved and observe and absorb what she was being told, even though she wasn't someone who learned formally in a school. So,
I would say her superpower, honestly, was love. Somebody who really got juice out of being the grandma and being with the family and being excited about their achievements. So I wanted to take this minute to talk about this word superpower, because it has nothing to do with money. You can have superpowers, and you can also, use a walker or be in a wheelchair, and you can have superpowers. It doesn't even have that much to do with health. But from the description you're hearing from Pat Fiore, you can see it has to do with some soul-searching and coming up with your true strength. And you don't just wake up in the morning and say to yourself, oh, my true strength is adaptability. Pat's been thinking about it. I had to also do that in a self-actualization class. I can tell you that my superpower is that I'm very resourceful. My dad died suddenly when I was 11. My mom had no education, and we spun on a pin. And although I wouldn't wish this to happen to anyone, a good thing happened from it. I became extremely resourceful. I can get anything under any circumstances that I need. That's a superpower. What are yours? If you're listening now, think about it. Dig deep. What do you really do well that comes totally naturally, that you don't have to work at, that is just part of you for some reason, and you like doing it because it's so effortless? And I promised you that if you put 15 minutes away today and you just think about what is something that empowers you effortlessly, you get to the jugular of your superpowers. And once you know
Absolutely.
It, you can use it to choose a job, to choose a friend. Pat, do you agree with that? Because I know that you're a searcher too. Or do you see something
I do.
Else
I think everyone. I think everyone has a gift, and it doesn't have to be a gift that anyone else puts a measure to. It doesn't have to have a monetary value. It's a gift that you've been given. It's the power that you have to use that gift in any way that makes you happy, and I think makes other people happy. If that makes you feel good, making other people happy around you. So. I think that, one of the gifts I give everyone I know is one of these notepads that has pros and cons on it. And I tell everyone, when you have a question in your mind about your career, about your life, about your family, about your children, about your direction, sit down with it and do the pros and cons on it. What's the positive piece? What's the negative? See what wins. That helps you. And I've used them all my life.
Well, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about just this topic, and that is decision-making. And we're going to do that in a very interesting context. Around this age, people have to make big decisions. You've made big decisions all your life. And let's talk about how to use that concept, that construct,
you may think
successfully for our future decisions. We're here with Pat Fiore. Don't you go in there.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate. For my age, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, so I can't believe it, Stu. Are we on our last segment?
How's it going? How's it going, Adrian?
Fantastic. I mean, I hope that you're having a good time. I think it's very good.
I am. I mean, is it okay if I say out loud, I don't think I'm old and I don't think I'm aging? I really don't.
Now,
I'm sure everyone around me, when I look in the go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to absolutely say that.
I don't think I'm old and I don't think I'm aging. I think I'm growing. I think I'm learning more. And it's amazing to me. The things I learn now, I mean, I wish I knew them sooner, but the world wasn't ready and I wasn't ready. But that doesn't mean I can't learn. I'm continuously learning.
Well, we're going to start with that. Right now, we're off the air, so I'm just saying this to you.
Okay.
I'm actually sending my blog. I do it twice a month. And they're long blogs. They're about 900 words. They're really articles. And this particular one is my response to a woman who was 40. and she said she was very depressed. She wanted to know what advice I could give her. And I thought about it. I didn't, you know, I could always say eat right, you know, exercise, all that stuff. But I really thought about it, and I realized that for me personally, the big deal was I don't think about time. Now, it's not that I don't think about aging, because everything I write about and do in life has to do with aging. My business is aging. But
right.
I don't think about time. I don't say, well, I want to accomplish this, but I'm too old. I don't have a lot of time.
Oh, I never think that way. Nothing ever tells me that.
Nothing ever tells me that. So, like, I'm a financial gerontologist, and I didn't have a license for money management. So I didn't do money management. I lectured and trained. So last, it's a year already. No, December, I took the exam. And they looked at me. They never saw a 70-year-old take this exam.
I love it.
It's a very, very,
I love it.
It's a very hard test. And the kids are schwitzing there. They don't know what to do. They're dropping. Depends, you know, and I really, and it was very hard, by the way. It wasn't easy. I had to learn math. I'm not good in math. But I never said, well, why are you bothering to do this at 69? Just didn't occur to me to say that it's not worth it because of my age. So whatever comes into my head, I discount the fact that I might not be using it as long as somebody else is. And that is the difference. But I think that's what you're saying. We definitely want to have that conversation. So
Sue,
we are ready.
Okay.
Yeah, paddleboarding? Okay, we'll talk about that.
I went paddleboarding, and let me tell you something. I didn't think I'd ever have the guts to get up, and I said, why not?
Sue, we're ready, and but now we'll be quiet, and we will cover that for the group. Okay, Ted.
This is so much fun, Adrienne. I'm so enjoying it.
It is. It's great. So hold 1 second, and now we'll have to be quiet again. All right, go ahead, Sue. We will be quiet now. All right, it's going to take another 10 seconds.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. We are syndicated all over the country, and now we are heard in other countries as well, including in England, through our app. It's a free app. It's BizTalk. You simply go to BizTalk on your app store there, and it's absolutely free. And you can hear us live every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning and on broadcast radio on Saturday nights and Sundays, depending on what station you turn on. And if you want to know more, just go to our website, and that is generationboldradio.com, and it lists all of the stations where we can be heard. All right. Now, we're here with Pat Fiore. We're coming to the end of our show. We can never believe it. She is the chief inspirational officer of Pat Fiore, a 35-year-old company that she founded personally. You've heard about her journey and how she founded it. But she said something during the break to me about aging. She certainly doesn't make her decisions based on her age. Why not, Pat? Tell everybody why aging doesn't come into the picture for you.
I don't know. I don't think I'm old. I don't think I'm old because I don't think old. I think I'm relevant because I work hard at continuously learning. Sure, my granddaughter can, at six, can do a video, make a video 5 minutes. You went to coding school at Apple this summer. I'm not going to do that, but I don't have to. I have people that can. So,
right. So, you know, the idea of making age irrelevant is a great goal. It is a great goal. However, for some people like Pat, and I feel that way too. We commiserated on this one. It's nothing we had to work at. It just does not occur in the mix of making decisions. And we talked about making big, tough decisions. And most of us, starting around our retirement, make decisions based on aging. And I work very hard to ask people not to do that. Now, did it come naturally to you, or is it just not in your lexicon of thinking about it? Is it because your grandma was so active up to age 98? Why do you think you don't say, well, you know, I can't do that because it doesn't pay, I'm already a certain age? Why doesn't that come into you, into your thinking?
I think because I'm still interested in so much of what's going on in the world. I've been a trend forecaster all of my career. I see further than maybe most people do. I see things evolutionarily happening in the world. I'm not bored. And I think if you're bored, I think that's when it starts to take you over, when you don't have, as we mentioned before, curiosity, when you don't understand your true needs or face your true realities. I think that's part of the challenge. A lot of people get stuck in a career that is kind of, so to speak, monotone, you know? They do the same thing really well. They may progress within it, within the confines of the business they're in. My business is very different. I have great constant change and constant new opportunities to learn and to use what I've already learned to benefit the people I work with. A lot of the startups are, you know, young kids. They're all millennials, and they're amazing. But they need wisdom. They need experience. They need people who have fallen several times. I think failing, I was telling my granddaughter this today, it's good to fail. It's good to not do something well because you'll remember the next time and do it better. I think failing makes a big difference.
It's Churchill who said, you know, it's really how you go from failure to failure, not success to success, that says who you are. And something I really would like to suggest to everybody, it's right on the dovetail of what Pat is saying. There is a book, and you can get it on Amazon or Kindle. It's called The Longevity Project, and it's an 80-year-long study of 1,500 people who were very happy and successful as they aged and those that weren't. And what was the big divide? It really wasn't whether they smoked or they had organic food or what they did about exercise. They did all these things, or they didn't do those things for a happy longevity because of a different trait, and that trait was productivity. Once they felt that they could be productive and engaged, then they did all the right things to live longer and healthier. But those that felt unproductive, they retired too early, they stopped working, they didn't volunteer, they had the worst old age. And it was very interesting, Pat, because stress comes with work. And everybody says, don't be stressed, don't be stressed. Well, the ones who were stressed for healthy and happy things, they lived longer and healthier.
Sure.
And so what you do naturally proves out scientifically, which is really an amazing thing. So you're blessed really in that sense that you didn't have to work at it. Some people really do have to work at it. So at the end of our show, we only have a minute or so left. If you be our chief inspirational officer. You're talking to people who are, you know, creeping up into their 60s and into their 70s, and they're wondering what's next. What's your inspirational words for them as our chief inspirational officer?
I think keep carving out a path. Keep looking at where you can go, what you want to do, not necessarily a bucket list. Reinvent. Be engaged. Be open. You know, I got on a paddleboard with my daughter and my grandchildren a couple of weeks ago. Never would you have ever suggested that to me. 20 years ago, I wouldn't have tried it.
Yep.
I got up on a paddleboard. I fell off a couple of times, but I was up there for a while. So
right.
My feeling is that you have to be open to try new things. You have to look at the world in a different way. You have to observe the beauty in the world and be excited about seeing more and more. And I think you can reinvent. You can recharge your thinking to gain a new path in life, to keep generating new excitement, to keep your curiosity satisfied, and to keep yourself relevant, beyond relevant in the world.
And that's the important thing. I think people stop living when they stop feeling anybody is interested in what they have to say, do, or contribute. And as Pat would say, and she said it to me off air, it only comes from inside you. Nobody else is going to come to you and say, here's the way you're going to be relevant. So I'm going to ask you in the last few seconds of our show today, as I thank Pat so much for being with us and inspiring us so much, to take that 15 minutes today and to write up, what are your superpowers? 1, 2, up to 3. If you have more, that's okay. But really think about it. What are you finding that you're contributing to the world that's easy for you to do, that isn't an effort for you to do? And then see how you can translate that into volunteerism, into work, into writing your memoirs, into mentoring someone else, and in some way creating your own internal inspiration. And, you know, every single week we say it. Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Find your joy. Find your joy.
Find your joy. Okay. You see how that works?
It was fun. Yeah, it was great. It's terrific, Adrian. Thank you.
And so are you. You're just as advertised, as they would say. Inspirational, articulate, everything that we need. And we should one day we'll get together because you're just around the corner from me anyway.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I have. I would love to talk to you a little bit about not for the sake of getting business, but to give you some ideas. So please, by any time you want, give me a call. How do you get your sponsors? I'd like to know more about that.
Well, okay, so a couple of things are going on, and we'll really have lunch. I'm serious. You and I
Let's
both
do
travel.
That.
I read about the fact that you travel. I do, too. So I really am going to Egypt, and I really did get back from the
Arctic.
Wonderful. But as soon as I get back, which will be the third week in October, if you're around,
I would love to do that. I know a couple of women that you, a couple of people you would love to have on the show.
I would love that, too.
I think
too.
It'd be fun. Yeah, if you're interested,
right.
I'd be happy to send you some information. This gal I just met, she has a company called Dream of Italy, and she's amazing. And actually, she's right now in Tuscany with Frances Mays, who wrote Under the Tuscan Sun. She brought her to see Bramasol, to see the house. She's shooting there this week.
You have a meeting.
Yep. Right, I would love to.
You have to go.
I know he's good, but let me just tell you, I would love to have that, and we will talk. Just to let you know, the sponsors. So you know my interest. The sponsors, we're syndicated, so our show is owned by our syndicator, and they get the sponsors. All right, so I don't get the sponsors. I have plenty of them. However, I'm thinking about expanding into California, where I will have a second home. And that will be different.
Ah.
So I am at some point going to be looking to see how to monetize this on my own. Right now it's monetized for me. I am the host.
Okay?
So now that
Terrific.
Answers your question.
Good.
All
so
right?
We'll get together
and
soon. Have a wonderful trip.
Definitely will. And just enjoy, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you. You'll send me a link when it's ready, right?
Oh, yeah. Stuart's going to send a link.
Perfect.
And he archives it next week and whatever. Okay,
great.
He does a lot of stuff.
Thank you so much,
okay?
Adrian. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Time. Bye-bye.
Take care.